Barb and I, we had the, I guess I'd say the privilege of sitting down with another couple, and we gave them some guidance. It's kind of weird. They actually asked our opinion. They wanted some guidance on an organization that they were a part of, and as we were talking about the organization, I said, Lee, let me ask you a question. Does this organization, do they know who they are? Do they know, you know, why they exist? What are their goals? Because I got a sense, and a lot of organizations are like this. They know what they're against, but they don't know so much as what they're for. And here's the thing. That really creates a lot of energy short term, because we can rally against something. You know, we're against this. But long term, that's not really an effective mission strategy. and long term, that's not really compelling to people outside of an organization. Because they want to know what you're for, not necessarily what you're against. And that doesn't mean that you're not against things. But the focus of a mission should be, you know, what is it that you're for? Because the only people that join organizations that are against something are the ones that are already in that fight. So let me ask you some questions here as individuals, because I think mission, a mission statement is important for an organization, but what about us for individuals? Do you know who you are? Do you have a sense of a mission for your life? Is there some direction? Is there some purpose for you? Or are you saying, yeah, I'm just hoping I can get to the end of this day? And maybe you're saying yes and yes. But do you have a purpose? Let me just put it a different way. Other than your bladder, what's the reason that you get up in the morning and get out of bed? What is the passion? What is your desire? What drives you? Okay, one more question for now. I'm going to ask a whole bunch more in this one. So that mission, you're saying this is what drives me. This is what keeps me going. Is it worthy of the seconds, of the minutes, of the days, of the years of your life that you are trading for to pursue that? Because that's a reality. I trade every day for something. I'm giving it up for something. And is what I'm pursuing, is it worth it? Is it a worthy mission? Stephen Covey, some of you probably read this book of his, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And he suggests that each one of us should create our own mission statement. What's the mission statement of your life? Why do you exist? What is your mission? And he said, when you do that, you need to think of the end in mind. In other words, I think that's important for a couple things. Here's saying one thing I've noticed in my life. When I aim for nothing, I hit it every time. Aim for nothing, you are going to hit that. But I think those are some questions worth thinking about. That at the end of my life, what would I like to be said about my life? Now, when people look at me, they say, okay, you know, what was his mission? What was his passion? Did anything he ever did it ever make a difference? I think another way we should think of the end in mind is that we should look and say, so if we read the Bible and we look at that and we say, okay, where is God taking history? What's the end goal? You know, I look at Revelation 21. That's my favorite chapter in the book, especially when you're going through like Revelation. You're like, this is ugly. This is weird. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation gathered together. There's peace and they're praising their created. Creator God, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no dying. Does my mission and my life, does it connect to that? Or am I pursuing something else? And And here's the reality. We tend to mission drift. Josh and I were talking about that as we were setting up that each one of us, we need to come back and go, oh, wait. This is where God has me. This is where I need to be. Oh, yeah, that was a rabbit trail that I was, not just the one I'm on right now, but that was a rabbit trail in my life, and I need to come back and say, okay, God, who is it that I am? Who is it you created me to be? And what is the mission that you have me on? And if that mission isn't centered in Christ, we need a mission reset. And I think we need to reset often. And we need to come back to that. And by the way, if you're part of an organization and you have a good mission, and it's a good mission that you look and say, that's a God-given mission, stay married to the mission. But date your methods. Okay? Methods come and go. It is the mission that we need to stick to. That's true. It's not even in my notes. So as I was working through this idea of mission, I came across this really cool Jewish phrase found in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is a body of classical rabbinic teachings, maybe more than you need to know. But the phrase is tikkun olam, right up here behind me, and it means repairing the world. And the phrase actually became really popular after the Holocaust, and you know, Jewish people are going back out into the world and saying, okay, now what do we do? How do we go forward? And tikkun olam is the idea that the world is broken. Everybody kind of in agreement with that? Yeah. The world is broken. But it's not beyond repair. This is what the teachings say. And that it's God's intention to work through humanity in order to repair his creation. And it means to do something with the world that not only fixes any damage, but improves upon it. Repairing it to enter the ultimate state for which it was created. And I was looking at that phrase, and I thought, I really like that. I really like this idea of repairing the world. I love the idea that our sacrificial acts of justice or kindness or compassion, they're not just nice things, but can actually make a difference in the world. In fact, wouldn't you like to live in a world where people had this idea from God's perspective that they were to be a part of repairing the world, of bringing healing to the world? I'm thinking that's a place I would love to live. Now, I want to throw a little bit of Christian perspective on this, because as a Christian, I think we need to understand that ultimately tikkun olam is that God himself is restoring all things. And he's actually invited us to be a part of that. And here's a bunch of verses that you can look up later that talk about God himself repairing and restoring a broken world. Christ actually did this on our behalf. Now, Pastor Brian Zan, he believes that tikkun olam is properly understood a Jewish concept, but he says it's one that you and I should embrace as Christians. And here's a critique that he gives of the Christian church. Now, this is an insider critiquing within, and he says, while it may be true that the Jewish community in general has not recognized that God is repairing the world through Jesus, in other words, they're not looking at Jesus and saying, oh, he's the one. But he says, but Christians often fail to recognize that God is repairing the world at all. Oh, ouch. Sometimes I'm guilty of that. So here's some more questions. I told you I was going to give you a bunch of questions today. Do we believe this? Do we believe that God, through Jesus Christ, is reconciling, restoring all things? And do we actually believe that God is saying, I'm inviting you to take a role in this? Do you believe that God actually has a mission for each one of us? I think he has a mission for us collectively, and he has an individual mission for us, that he actually has plans and he has a purpose for your life. Let me just kind of cut to the chase on the questions. At Hope Community Church, we believe that we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That absolutely we have a role. And that's my encouragement, is go out in that world and say, okay, how are we to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? And it could even be such a thing where you look and you say, okay, I think God is calling more of us to be the hands and feet in this particular situation. But I believe that God has us on a mission. So here's the thing. We know what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, yeah, you're to go out and prepare the world. We know Hope Community Church says you're to be the hands and feet. What does the Bible say? Because ultimately, if the Bible doesn't say it, then, you know, maybe that was like a good story or whatever. Let's turn to our key verse, and we'll look back at it a couple times this morning. But our key verse is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And if you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, raise your hand. Somebody will bring one to you. It's going to be on the wall behind me as well. And if you have a phone, you probably have a Bible. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and it says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Some translations say workmanship. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things he has planned for us long ago." And we look at this passage, and I would say clearly God has a mission. God has a purpose for our lives. Now, what is that mission? What is that purpose? Well, let's start with that phrase, good things. Your translation may say God has good works that he has prepared in advance for you. Now, we know from the previous two verses, if you back up a little bit, you know that those good works do not save you. It's very clear in 8 and 9 that we're saved by grace through faith. And so these good works don't save us, but I would suggest that rather they're a result. They're an outflow, or maybe the purpose of our salvation, that God brings us in to send us out. Doesn't save us by those good works, but sends us out to do good works. Now, if I were to ask you from history, who would you say did good works? We'd probably come up with a list of people that lived sacrificial lives. We'd say, man, this person made a difference here. And we could say they practiced tikkun olam, right? Now, somewhere at the top of the list, like the very top, I would hope that the name Jesus Christ would come up. And which is vital, because the mission and plan that God has for your life and for my life is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Last week I talked about how meaning and purpose in life are found in a relationship with the Creator of life. So if we're going to find our mission, you know, what am I called to do? We're going to need to look at Jesus. In fact, we're going to need to look at the mission of Jesus. Is it our key verse? Let me go back there again. It says he created us anew in Christ Jesus. If you're one of those people that highlights or underlines in your Bible, you won't get in trouble, I promise you. Go ahead and underline Christ Jesus. Because he created us anew. It's in Christ Jesus. So that we can do the good things. So that we can fulfill our mission. Our mission is not going to be found apart from Christ Jesus. Our mission is going to be found in Christ Jesus. And he says, and it was planned for us long ago. Before you did anything, these things were planned out. So how did Jesus see his mission? Well, let's look at, we'll go back to our key verse, but for now, let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 42 through 43. Luke 4, 42 and 43. Okay, so the Bible says, I'm out of time, sorry. Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched for him everywhere. Let me just read it how it is. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent." Now, as we're going through, you may look at that and go, well, that's not the most profound verse in the Bible about mission, what have you. But I think there's a lot more than we first see. And let me just start with this, about Jesus' mission and how he understood it. Jesus had clarity about his mission. So let's put this in context here. Jesus is in the town of Capernaum, and things are going well. I mean, he's preaching, and people are like, we've never heard words like that before. This guy is amazing. Sick people are being healed. Demons are being cast out. The good news is spreading all around. And I'm thinking, if I'm Jesus, it'd be so easy to say, boys, let's just settle in here. This is going well. We're like the fastest religious movement in the area. We're kicking tail. And you know what? Here's the thing. Because you could look and go, man, there's good stuff going on there. But you know what? He would have settled. One morning I got up and I had some orange juice and I was reading the label. And it said shake because settling is normal. I'm like, man, that is profound. And you know what? It's normal in our lives. We settle for something less than the mission. We need to come back to that mission. And he would have settled for something less than what his father had for him. And here's what he said. He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom in other towns, in other places." He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost." Another place, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom." John tells us that the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if we think about that, what words will we use to describe Jesus' mission? You know, if we're going to kind of pinpoint that, we're going to narrow it down. I mean, some people would probably say salvation or somewhere in there. I think it's more than salvation. Because typically when we think of salvation, we think of individuals. I like the words redemption and reconciliation. I'll tell you why. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He committed to us the word of reconciliation. So Jesus is on this mission to reconcile the world to himself. We have a broken world. You know, you go from Genesis, you go to Revelation, you get to Revelation 21, and you see all of that restored, and it's restored in Jesus Christ. So let me go back. What do you see as your mission? Is your mission connected with Jesus? Do you have one? Well, let me help you, give you a bigger picture. If we back up one verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, this Apostle Paul, he says, "Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Do you catch the big picture there? That Jesus reconciled us. There's salvation. We're brought into a right relationship. And then he gives us a ministry of reconciliation. Do you have a ministry? Yes. You have a ministry of reconciliation. If we go back to Ephesians, it tells us that there's good works that God has planned for us long ago. And so if you're sitting there going, okay, man, okay. If you're like those two people that are going, okay, let's really take this seriously. Let's talk about, you know, what is the mission? What is the mission that I have? I don't know your exact mission, but I know reconciliation is included in that. That he has given you a ministry to go out and be a part of God's reconciliation. And in fact, as Ephesians tells us, that God has very specific plans in mind for our lives. Isn't that incredible? That God would, because some of you are going, man, I've done some really dumb things in my life. And I'm right there with you. But God says, I've got specific plans in your life. Well, let's keep going to see if we can discover some more about these specific things. So Jesus had clarity about his mission. Secondly, and this is important, Jesus knew that he was sent. This is absolutely vital. Luke 4:43, Jesus replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. Find out the why in your life that'll help you figure out the purpose of your life. And I want to suggest that Jesus didn't just know that he was sent, he knew who sent him. And so when we talk about mission, this isn't, Jesus didn't just sit down one day and say, man, what's the mission statement for my life? Let's make it catchy too. You know, put in a clever little phrase, it's easy to remember, something like that. No, he didn't do that. He knew the one who was sending him was his Father in heaven. Now, if you're sent somewhere, what's the obvious thing? Somebody sent you, right? So if you see me later today or sometime this week at the grocery store and I'm walking around with a list in my hand, you know two things, right? First, I'm on a mission. I don't typically go grocery store shopping, nor do I make lists. But the list is there so that I stay on mission, right? There's things that I need to accomplish, and it's right here. This is the mission. I don't want to get distracted, and you know, I'm over here and what have you, because we get distracted. And so I want to stay on mission, and I want to make sure I finish it. Now, the second thing you would know, not only am I on a mission, is that somebody, Barb, sent me on that mission. And since I'm sent, if I'm sent on behalf of somebody else, the things that I do on that mission is going to be reflective of who sent me. So, who sent you on your mission? Author of the book Good Works, Stephen Landino, he writes this, if you are going to fulfill your purpose in life, you can't rob the sent from your assignment. Your purpose isn't your purpose. It is his purpose at work in you. It's not your good works, but his good works. You can't divorce your purpose from God's plan. It simply doesn't work that way. Man, that is profound. I wish I wrote it, but Stephen wrote that one there. Jesus isn't the only one sent on a mission. After he's resurrected from the dead, he gathers his disciples together, and here's what he said to them. John 20:21. And again, he said, peace be with you, and that's just because he popped out of, like the middle of nowhere. People usually freak out when somebody shows up in a room that wasn't there before, but he says, peace be with you. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Pause and think about that for a second. Think of the magnitude, the possibilities, and the responsibilities of this. Jesus says, as my Father, creator of heaven and earth, you've probably heard about him. He says, as my Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He's saying God has a plan, God has a mission for your life. And so, you know, let's break that down. He says, as the Father sent me, now I send you. How was Jesus sent? Well, he was sent out with the Father's blessing. He was sent out with the Father's plan. He went out and he healed the hurting. He gave hope to the broken and the hopeless. He offered forgiveness to his enemies. And he says, as I was sent, he says, I'm now sending you. And so you and I are sent out, and we have this mandate to tell others about the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, let me just clarify this. You're not going to die a substitutionary death in the way that Jesus did to save the world, okay? You might die doing this, but you're not going to die a substitutionary death. But you and I, we are sent out to demonstrate and to share the good news of the universal reign of God in Christ Jesus. Does that seem like an incredible assignment to you? And embrace that. Stay in that mission. Look at that mission and say, okay, God, who am I? What have you sent me to do? And here's the beauty of being sent. It's kind of like that list. You don't have to figure everything out. You know, I know that I'm sent. I don't even have to figure out, does my life have meaning? Does my life have purpose? It does. And it's really not about what I've done or what I haven't done. I know my life has meaning and purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Greek there is poema. You are God's beautiful letter. God has written on your heart. You're his masterpiece. You're his workmanship. It says, he created us anew. That really helps me out too, because I think, oh good. All those things that I've screwed up, he's created me anew in Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus now working in me. It's his power, it's his strength, it's his plan, it's his mission, it's his purpose that's in me so that we can do the good things that God has planned out long ago. God knew what he was doing when he created you. You know, you can look at your birth and you go, well, you know, here was the circumstances, and I wasn't wanted, and I had this bad background, and what have you. And that covers a lot of things in most of our lives. And some of us say, well, not only that, I've messed up a whole bunch of things. Well, let me tell you this. Long before those things that you messed up, long before the unfair and the ugly things that happened to you in your life, God had a plan for you. God had a plan to work through. God's plans are not thwarted by the missteps of people. He has the ability to cause all things to work together for good. God can work through all these things. He has created you and I. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus to do good works. So Jesus had clarity about his mission. Jesus knew that he was sent. Jesus completed his mission. And in a prayer in John chapter 17, really super cool prayer, John 17 verse 4, he's praying to his Father, and he says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Brought glory by completing the work that he was given to do. So Jesus completes this mission, and then in this same prayer, Jesus says this, verse 18, just as you sent me into the world, this is the second time he's talking about sending us into the world. This is, you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Jesus says, okay, I've glorified you, and now I am sending them out on mission. Like what Philippians talks about God's work in our life. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you, who started a work within us, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You know what I know about the mission that God has for me? God is going to remain faithful to that. God is going to be faithful in that mission. Now, the question I need to ask while I discover that mission and will I walk in the plan that he has for my life? So, what is your specific mission? I can't answer that for you. I could give you some guidelines, but somewhere in there we need to look and say, okay, here's the guidelines. So, God, what is it in my life? Who are the people around me? How have you gifted me? Where are you working in the world, enjoying God where he is working? And I also know this, that God is glorified. God is glorified when we walk in the mission and purposes that he has for our lives. So if you're kind of stuck in there, you're going, I don't even know where to start. I say, wake up each morning and say, God, how can I bring glory to you today? How can I bring glory to your kingdom? Who is it that you're going to put in my path? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to show your hope, your forgiveness, your goodness, your mercy? Mark Twain says there's two important days in your life. He says, one is the day that you were born, and secondly, is the day you find out why. And I would say, maybe the day that you were born again, and then the second is the day that you find out why. What is your purpose? What is your mission? Because God has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do things that he's planned out long ago. Will you discover them? Will you walk in them? Will you practice Tikkun Olam? Let's pray and we'll have the worship team come back up. Father, you are an amazing God. You're an amazing God that can step into our mess and our brokenness and not leave us there. But you come into our lives and you transform them. And maybe even more amazing than that is you send us back out to share this hope and love with others. And so, Father, I pray for each person here that we would begin and continue to discover what is the mission that you have for us? Where are you working in our lives? How can we glorify you today, tomorrow, and this next week? Father, lift up each person, and may you continue to work in their lives. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.